Right. I'm going to kind of skip around just a little bit here because I have gone over this thing about twice already. Glad to have Jonathan back. And the boys have done really well. Jonathan knows a little bit more about how to maneuver everything and a little bit more, you know, to where everything can flow a little bit better. But I am thankful that we're teaching the boys and teaching Terrell how to do some of that stuff. So that's all been good. It really has. Anyway, let's go ahead and look at Genesis 37 again. All right, Genesis 37. And we'll turn there and we'll look again at verse 12, okay? And just to kind of help you to catch up, I think I've already kind of shared with you everything, the background of the story, and how that Joseph was the favorite son of Jacob, and his brothers didn't like it. I don't think it's ever right for a dad to favor one above all the rest of them. But in this particular case, unfortunately, that happened. And unfortunately, the one that was at fault was Jacob, but the one who suffered was his favorite. And the reason why is because his brothers all wanted the same thing, and they envied him because of it. You know, God was the one that Cain should have been more angry at, wasn't he? Because God was the one who rejected Cain. It wasn't Abel, but he, unfortunately, Abel became the victim. And so that just shows you the wickedness of human nature. Genesis 37, verse 12, it says, "And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, Do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said to him, Here am I. And he said to him, Go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, What seekest thou?" Sounds kind of familiar, doesn't it? Anyway, we'll talk about that in a minute. And he said, "I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks." And the man said, "They are departed hence, for I heard them say, Let us go to Dothan." And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, "Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit, and we will say, Some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams." And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, "Let us not kill him." And Reuben said unto them, "Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father again." So you see that Reuben tried to be instrumental in delivering Joseph from his brothers. So it wasn't necessarily all of them. Verse 23, it says, "And it came to pass when Joseph was come unto his brethren that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, What profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites. Let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother in our flesh." And his brethren were content. And there passed by Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph into Egypt. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, I do ask that you would just help me as you use me to expound what you want us to know through your word. Help us to see what you're trying to do with us. Father, I know that all of us experience pits in our life. I pray, Father, that you'd help us to learn from them. Help us to have the right tools that we need. And Father, we thank you for all that you're going to do. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, as I told you already, all right, this we see in this passage of Scripture, the first point that I covered, all right? By the way, before I cover this point, I want us to recognize, more importantly, more than the main point of this whole message is our need to be faithfully abiding in Him. All right, that's the key point to this whole message: is faithfully abiding in the Lord, no matter what the circumstances may be. No matter what the circumstances may be, we need to learn to faithfully abide in Him. The more that we do that, the more that we will begin to not notice the circumstances and pay more attention to the God that we're abiding in. Amen. You know, you think about it, it's kind of like that greenhouse situation. When you're in a greenhouse, all right, no matter whether it's winter or whether it's summertime, the one that's in charge, the husbandman, I think about that. You know, you think about, I don't know if they had anything similar to greenhouses back in the day that Jesus was alive, but Jesus in John chapter 15, there's our set of verses that I had mentioned, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, you know, I mentioned that one. In John chapter 15, he says, I am the vine and my Father is the husbandman, all right? When you're inside of we'll just say that the Lord Jesus is that, we'll just kind of say it's like being in a greenhouse, okay, abiding in Christ. And the greenhouse is not, the temperatures are not going to adjust unless the guy who's taking care of all those plants does the adjusting. That's God, all right? But in Christ, it's what I call Beulah land. We've sung that song. It's not about heaven. It's not about something we will have. It doesn't say, oh yes, I'll be feasting on the manna from a bountiful supply when I am dying and headed to Beulah land. It's not what the song says. It says, oh yes, I'm feasting on the manna from a bountiful supply, for I am dwelling in Beulah land. That's right now. That's happy, peace, joy. I'm dwelling in that happy state. And it seems like far below the noise of strife upon the world is beating. Then I know the sons of men, then I know the sins of earth beset on every hand, doubt and fear and things of earth and vain to me are calling. None of these shall move me in Beulah land. Amen. That's now. That's a revived life right there. And so we're learning to faithfully abide. The first thing that we learned was we learned about a lad who settled the differences in his heart. Boy, I'll tell you, that's important. We need to recognize what's most important. All right? We need to recognize, okay, what's more important, the things that I have planned for my life, or is it what God has planned for me? Of course, along with that, we learned that an estimation was measured, first of all. All right? And then an exchange was made. That's the second. All right. Now I realize that some of you, I hope, if any of you need sheets, I've got some sheets here. Okay, they are already filled out. All right. But anyway, we're just kind of skimming through this because I want to get to what we were talking about today. The exchange being made was beauty for ashes. It's recognizing that all of our plans, whether they work or not, they need to be considered ashes. How does something become ashes? When we burn them. And what does the Bible say about sacrifice? We call it burnt offerings. And the Bible says in Psalm 51, it says that the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise the sacrifices of God. And the Bible also says that the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save as such as be of a contrite spirit. All right, so we have that. That's what it means to present your bodies a living sacrifice. All right, we see that. All right, so I'm skimming through, and But it's important that we recognize the exchange that needs to be made, and then the expectation being maintained. Boy, I'll tell you what, if you don't learn to exchange, you're not going to ever understand the verse about the expectation that's maintained. I used to think, and Brother Jonathan can put this verse up here if he wants to, Jeremiah 29:11 says this, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." It did not say to give you your expected end. Your expected end was sacrificed on the altar. You turned that into ashes, and you brought those ashes and you said, "This is yours. I'm giving this to you. I'm giving my life to you." Here's another way of agreeing with the Lord. See, the Lord already says, "You're mine. I bought you with a price." You know, I told you confession means agreeing with the Lord. Well, this is another way to agree with the Lord. Because when you go to God and you say, "I belong to you and all that I am is yours," the Lord says, "Good, I know that. I'm glad we're agreeing with each other. Now, I can do what I do best." Boy, that's encouraging. That's exciting. That God wants to do his very best in us. So that expectation was maintained. And of course, I gave you the little list of things to do to keep a car running. Maintain. Sustain. Keep on driving. Keep going. Go another mile. And then obtain. In order for you to sustain your run, you need to make sure you maintain. You need to make sure that if you're, I think of what, you know, we've been talking about this crash during the race. Jonathan's brother Melvin getting in this crash. Melvin has to maintain his car in order for it to run. And then while he's driving that race, he needs to keep on going. He needs to sustain the drive and then maintain the prize. All right? Maintain. It says in 1 Corinthians 9:24, "So run that ye may obtain." Don't quit. Don't faint. Sustain. Keep going. And then we saw number two, a laborer who saw the direction of a holy hand. You see, Joseph. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm learning this myself in my own personal life. How many of you believe God blessed with Community Appreciation Day? I do too. I really do. I believe that God did a lot of things during Community Appreciation Day. But can I tell you something? Your pastor miserably failed God's test with Community Appreciation Day. And I'm going to tell you why. It's because during that time, I had been given many, many promises. I learned about Dave Barba and his telephone program, and I thought to myself, this is what I said. I was in the lowest of the low before Community Appreciation Day, and I encouraged myself, and I got excited one more time, and I said, "All right, Lord, I'm going to give it one more shot." And this is what I said. "If this doesn't work, then I'll know that this is not meant to be." That's how it worked. There's a lot of things wrong with what I just said. Here's what happened. Dave Barba and his program, I said, "Hey, this seems like a really good program. Seems very orderly. Calling everybody, giving them mailings, and hanging door hangers. Well, this has got to work." And I got excited about that. And then Jonathan Barber said, "Right after all that stuff is done, I'm going to come and stay with you for 3 months." Now, that got cut back to a little bit less than that. All right. But at the beginning, he said, "I'm going to stay with you." No, I think he was here for about 3 months. I think at first he started saying he's going to stay with me for probably about 4 to 5 months. It was something like that. It was a little bit longer. And, you know, I mean, I was elated. We've got Jonathan Barber. I mean, he's a soul winner. When we got to Maurice and Betty's house, Maurice asked me the question, what do I need to do to be saved? And that was exciting. And you know what I did? I said, well, we've got the man to show you. And I looked at Jonathan Barber and I said, go ahead, brother. Fire away. And he did, and he did a good job, and Maurice got saved. Praise the Lord. But I was doing something I wasn't supposed to be doing. All right, now I'm going to go a little bit further than that. Jonathan Barber helped me put together a beautiful website. We still got that thing running, and the Lord's blessing with it. I said, we've got a great website. I mean, this is exciting. God's really moving in this church. And I was focusing on Barba, on Barber, and the website, and all of these things. And the Lord was saying the whole time, don't you think I might work a little bit too? See, Joseph learned, you look at, if you have your notes, all right, or you can look up here on the screen if you want to. First of all, his brothers secretly forsook him. Potiphar's wife shamelessly framed him. The butler soon forgot him. But through it all, God showed faithfulness to him. Yes. See, Joseph was in this pit, and I have no doubt that he made an estimation in that pit. He said, I'm nothing, Lord. You know, I really wasn't expecting this to happen. My dad wanted me to meet him at the bullying alley at about 7 p.m. when I got back. Just kind of thinking in modern terms here, okay? He had plans, is what I'm trying to say. I was supposed to get my learner's permit. All this kind of stuff. I didn't have slavery as a plan. But Lord, I'm going to trust you. And then all of a sudden, a rope comes down. Hey, you know what? It worked. I gave my life to the Lord. I surrendered everything to him. He's delivering me out of this pit. And he climbs up the rope. And when he gets out, there's people he doesn't even recognize. And they go, all right, that'll be 20 pieces of silver. And he sees his brother, Judah. And Judah goes, here you go. Judah, what are you doing? What are you doing? Would you just take him, please? Judah, what are you doing? And he got taken away. There's no telling what went through his mind on his journey to Egypt. I wonder what they're going to tell Dad. Maybe Dad will come help me. He was relying on Dad. His brothers betrayed him. He couldn't rely on them for sure. And then he meets Potiphar. And the Bible says that the Lord was with Joseph. I think that Joseph was really depending on the Lord. And I think that when he met Potiphar, Potiphar was good to him. And Potiphar said, Joseph, I'll tell you, ever since you've come into my house, I mean, we have got a bumper crop. We've got all sorts of just blessings coming in. I'm richer than I've ever been. I mean, I don't know what God you're serving, but keep serving him. Because, I mean, you're a blessing to this house. And Joseph probably said, thank you, Lord. It's not really where I intended to be, but thank you, Lord, for Potiphar. And then all of a sudden he meets Mrs. Potiphar. And again, this woman comes and ruins everything. Lord, what in the world? Everything was going well. All right, Lord. You know what? You've been with me. You blessed me. Lord, you know what? I gave you everything. Wherever you take me, I'm going. And Potiphar says, and this is what it was in the Hebrew, send him to the pit. Joseph's back in a pit, in the prison, the Egyptian prison. He's down in this pit, and the Lord was with him. Isn't that encouraging? And here's this baker and this butler in the pit with them. You know, And he's been there for a while. They show up, and one morning they wake up, and he gets up, you know, and he says, "Lord, I don't like being here, but I'm abiding in you. Thank you, Lord, for whatever it is that you have planned for me." And he looks over at his friends, at the guys in the prison, and he goes, "Boy, you guys look really upset. What's the matter?" And one of them goes, "Well, why don't you tell him?" "Well, no, he'll think I'm crazy. You tell him." "All right, well, we had this dream. We had this dream, and my dream was that I had the Pharaoh's cup and I had plenty of grapes to give to him, and the Pharaoh seemed to be really happy about it." And the butcher says, "Okay, well, he told him that." The baker, he says, "I had baskets. I had three baskets on my head, and the birds were coming, and they were eating out of the basket. What does it mean?" And Joseph tells the baker, "Oh, three baskets are 3 days. In 3 days, the Pharaoh's going to come, and he's going to hang you on a tree because of what you did. I'm sorry. That's what that means." And I'm probably getting this backwards, but anyway, the butler looks at him and he goes, "Well, what about me?" And he goes, "Well, in 3 days, you're going to be restored back to your position. By the way, when you do get restored, would you please just don't forget me?" Guess what he did? He forgot him. You see, Joseph, he had given himself over to God, but he was constantly, "Maybe Potiphar will help me. Maybe this prison guard will help me. Maybe the butler will help me. Maybe my brothers will help me. Maybe Dad will help me." And he's depending on all these people, and he's finding all through his life that God was with him. And finally he said, "You've been with me the whole time. There's not a single person on this earth that I can trust." You know, when we had the Community Appreciation Day and people started coming into church and everything, you know, and I'm not bashing anybody here, and I'm not trying to speak evil of anyone, but I am going to say this. I'm just going to use this as an example. And those of you who don't know, fine. If you do, fine. But, you know, through all of that, we got this family, and I had been praying for a family in this church. And I said, "Lord, thank you, we've got a family. Now we can get started. We've got a family, they've got teenagers, they've got little kids. I mean, we can get all this stuff going. This is great." The Lord was like, "Oh, Mike, you still haven't learned. You still have not learned what I want to do with this church." And I said, this is fantastic. Then, I was putting my dependence on that. I said, this is fantastic. And they told us, they said, "We're a very active family." "Oh, that's wonderful." You know, the Lord said, "Mike, I love you enough to take that family from you. Because that's not what you need. And until you figure out what you need, I'm going to continue to take." You know why? Because you had a grandma and a grandpa who prayed for you that you would understand my direction. They're gone, but I'm going to make sure that prayer gets answered. If you have never had anyone pray for you, I'm sorry. I can tell you this, I pray for you. But I had a grandma and a grandpa who prayed for me, and they prayed for me so hard, there's nothing that I can do to get out of the will that God has for me, because they said, "Don't let him veer right or left. Keep him straight on in what you want." And I'll tell you one thing, I've been thrown in pit after pit after pit. And the Lord's finally coming to Mike Barnett, and he's going, "I think you're finally starting to get it. And don't lose it." But here's Joseph. And he's depending on all these, and finally he realized that it was God. Look at Genesis 50. Turn there really quick, all right? And I realize that we've already gone over this particular section, but the Lord's showing me some stuff here. And it all centers around this whole thing that the Lord's burdened me about. Look at Look at what it says in verse. This is after Jacob died. Now, Jacob said to him, he said, Joseph, look, you need to forgive your brothers, okay? God has a plan for all of you. You need to forgive them. They made a mistake. Forgive them. His brothers heard that. Verse 16, after he was dead, it said this. And they sent a messenger, this is the brothers, unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee, now the trespasses of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. I don't think he was weeping because they hurt his feelings. I think he wept because they didn't understand the joy of abiding in him. He said, oh, you guys, you're in the pit. Let me teach you a lesson that I learned. And he teaches them, verse 18, and his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? Verse 20, but as for you, ye thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Do you know he said that to Pharaoh? Do you realize that if that butler had remembered Joseph, all right? I want you to look at what he says to Pharaoh, all right? Let me get there here real quick here. I want you to look and I'm trying to find it here. I can't find it. But if you want to look it up, you can, okay? But basically, Pharaoh calls Joseph in, sorry. He calls Joseph in. If that butler had remembered Joseph, Joseph still didn't quite have it figured out yet, did he? If that guy remembered him, he probably would have walked into Pharaoh's presence, looked over at the butler and gone, thanks for remembering me. And the Pharaoh would have said, I understand that you can interpret dreams. Is that true? And Joseph would have said, yes, I can. In the scriptures, which you'll have to look it up, I'm sorry. I don't want this to interrupt what I'm trying to say, okay? In the scriptures, he was forgotten, and he finally realized that God was with him the whole time. And then when he stood before Pharaoh said, I understand that you can interpret dreams. Is that true? And he goes, no, I can't. But God can. You see, that's the mistake I've been making. Oh, I can't soul win, but Jonathan Barber can. Oh, I'll tell you what, we're just a little bitty church, but I'll tell you what, a video that you make on how to get to the church, that'll get people here. A new building will get people here. How about God? You know what? I believe God wants to do something incredible in this church, and I believe that God is preparing it. And you know why? Because there's going to be people who are going to come to me, people who are in the pits, people who need God, churches who need revival, and they're going to come and they're going to say, how'd you do it? In the past, I would have said, well, we did these phone calls. We did Community Appreciation Day. We did Dave Barber. We did Jonathan Barber. We had an evangelist come and stay with us for 3 months, and all of a sudden they said, oh, we'll try that. And they will go, and it won't work. But now, if somebody says, how'd you do Ready America? I'm going to say, I didn't.
Amen.
It was God.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
At least I hope that's what I'll say. It was God. And so that's where God has gotten me, and I hope that he's getting you there. Number three, and I'm gonna ride right through this, all right? This is very easy. A Lord who secured the desires of a humble human. That's number three. He secured the desires of a humble human. The Bible says, all right, and we'll get to that in just a second here, because I want to make sure that I keep everything in order. God is not interested in who you are or what you can do. He's interested in what you're willing to let him do. That's what it's all about. So we have a Lord who secured the desires of a humble human. All right, so here it is. You're probably wondering, what in the world's in this blank? The Lord used an ordinary adolescent to preserve Israel in the most unlikely place. An ordinary adolescent. As my wife often says, he probably was a spoiled brat when he got brought into Egypt. Think about it. Look at my coat. You know, some of my boys, every now and then they'll get something that the other kids didn't get, and they'll flash it in front of their face. They'll go, look what I got, and you don't have it. All right? I have no doubt that little Joseph probably did the same thing. He probably walked around just like this and was showing off his nice, shiny, colorful coat, and his brothers were like, they probably didn't like it at all. God had to do some work on Joseph. The Lord used an old antique to rescue Israel in the most unlikely predicament. Now, who is that? Some of you probably have no idea who I'm talking about because of Charlton Heston. Behold God's mighty hand! No, I don't think that's how Moses was at all. Moses, when he stood at the Red Sea, was about 80 years old. And not only that, but he probably said, behold, God's mighty hand. Why did I say that? He was a stutterer. He had a speech impediment. He couldn't talk. He was old. And here he is, this old guy with a stick. All right, guys, let's go. And he delivered the entire nation of Israel out of the bondage of Egypt. Why? Because he was available. You know, God, y'all have to forgive me. I've been preaching things like, y'all, we need some young blood in here. We need some families in here. We need this in here. We need some young people in here. I've been really, and we do need young people. Don't get me wrong. I'm thankful for our young people. But do you realize how insulting I've been to you? I've been treating it almost as if God couldn't use you. We need younger people. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry for that. Because God can use any of you.
Amen.
In a great and mightier way than he could ever think to use me, even. As long as you say, I don't understand everything Pastor Mike is saying, but Lord, all I know is I'm with you. I'm with you. Asa said that. Asa, the king of Israel, he didn't understand a whole lot. He had a wicked father. But Asa said, I'm with you. And the Lord said, as long as you're with me, I'll be with you. That's what he said to Asa. And one day there was an army of Ethiopians. It said the number was 1,000,000. Now that sounds weird. What do we call that? Anybody know? 1,000,000 Ethiopians. And Asa saw all of that and he said, it is nothing with thee, Lord, to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee. And in thy name,
we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. And do you know what it says about that battle? It says that they whipped Ethiopia so bad that they never recovered. When you go to Ethiopia, you'll consider them, if you look at the places of Ethiopia, you'll look at them and you will say, you'll use the word primitive. But do you know what's unusual? When I say primitive, what I mean by that is a lot of times you'll see them in mud huts, things like that. They're very primitive. But what's strange about it is all throughout their jungles, there's ruins of a great city that once stood in the midst of Ethiopia. And do you know whose fault it was? Probably Asa. Because it said Ethiopia never recovered. Something to think about. And it's all because he said, we can't do this. We rest on thee. You can do this. I'm not going to go any further. I want my wife to go to the piano. I want us to sing We Rest on Thee. And I want you to just think about the words. I want you to especially focus on the words. It's right on the front cover of your hymnal. If it's not, you can find someone who has a hymn book that has the words in it. I'd like it if we could all sing it. The third verse says, we go in faith, our own great weakness feeling, and needing more each day thy grace to know. Yet in our hearts a song of triumph pealing, we rest on thee, and in thy name we go. I want that to be the heart of every person in this church. Isn't that exciting? It's exciting what God is doing here. He's doing something in my heart, and I know he's got to be doing something in yours. Let's sing it together, okay? Let's stand, all right? If you want to go to the altar and you want to say, Lord, I want what he's talking about, you can go to the altar and you can just pour out your complaint to him while we sing it, all right? That's up to you. You can do it at your seat, whatever, or you can just sing with all your might. But let's sing it. We rest on thee. Here we go. Ready? We rest on thee, our shield and our defender. Forth alone against the foe. Strong in thy strength, safe in thy keeping tender, we rest on thee, and in thy name we go. Yes, in thy name, O captain of salvation, in thy dear name, all other names above, Jesus, our righteousness, our sure foundation, our Prince of glory and our King of love. Listen now. We go in faith, our own great weakness feeling, and needing more each day thy grace to know. Yet from our hearts a song of triumph pealing, we rest on thee, and in thy name we go. We rest on thee, shield and our defender. Thine is the battle, and thine shall be the praise. When passing through the gates of pearly splendor, victors will rest with thee through endless days. Can I encourage you to do something? And I'm done. Don't let
petty little problems and hard feelings and grudges that are going to last for just a tiny little split vaporized second mess up the riches that you have in eternity. Amen. Give it to God now. Yes. And you've got an eternity of wealth waiting for you. Yeah. Let's pray, okay? Father, I do thank you again for this time we can be together. Father, I'm just trusting, Father, that everything that was said may have reached our hearts in a special way. And I never want to hinder anything that you want to do, Father. And I certainly am willing to stay behind if there's anyone who wants to stay. And I say that to the congregation. If there are any of you, and I keep your heads bowed, eyes closed, if there's any of you, and I know that some of you need to go, I understand that, I realize that, and it may be that none of us can do it right now, but I never want to shut the door on anything that God is doing. But if there's any of you who feel the need to stay, and pray or to discuss or to get questions answered, we can do that. But Father, we do commit all this to you. This is your body. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would guide us. I believe you want, and you have wanted. Father, it's not that you've told me that you want this church to be revived before Ready America. You've wanted this church to be revived long before that. We've just not been ready to do it, Father. Lord, I want to be ready. And I thank you, Father, for everything you're going to do. I don't even glory in that big day. It's going to be a big day, sure, but oh Lord, I'm looking for what you're going to do before then. And after, on a regular basis in our lives. Thank you for everything, Father, that you're going to do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you all. You're dismissed.